telling us in Joel 3:9 to proclaim this, to speak this out loud. It says, consecrate for war. Stir up the mighty men. I love that. Stir up the mighty men and let the men of war draw near. The Bible says, let them draw near and let them come up. Today, the triumph of serving God. Are you a mighty man? Are you one of the mighty men, a mighty warrior of God? So today I want to pick up two guys in the Bible. 1 Kings 18 gives us a reflection of Obadiah and Elijah, two mighty warriors on kind of different sides of the fence, if you will. Obadiah served a king, Ahab, that was very bad, bad king as far as God would consider. He hated God and literally was married to the devil incarnate in Jezebel. And Ahab had this man, Obadiah, that was his servant. But Obadiah loved God. And of course, Elijah, a prophet, we know loved God. And so this is a time period that I want to preach to you today and show you how God used these mighty men in 1 Kings 18. So if you grab your Bible and turn there with me, we're going to actually not read it all, but we're going to read a lot of Scripture today because I think it's important for us to do so. Another thing I want to tell you before we read this, not only is it Father's Day for me, it's actually me and Lisa's 24th year in a row anniversary. So praise God for that. Yeah. 24 years, and I guess how we did it, somebody asked me the other day. When we first got married 24 years ago, we made an agreement. I said, when you get mad at me, I'll go outside, and when I get mad at you, you go outside. And for the last 24 years, I've had a great outdoor life. Amen. Amen, that's right. Hello me, right, Dan? All right. I want to look, first of all, if you're taking notes, and I didn't have Wi-Fi or internet, so I couldn't send them to Carrie. It's my fault that you don't have them. How do we live without Wi-Fi? I can remember saying, how do we live without cell phones? And now it's Wi-Fi. Isn't that funny? I remember living without cell phones. Uh-oh, I'm old. All right. Number one, Obadiah, he was a faithful manager. Faithful manager. Fonz, I didn't see you come in. How you doing, man? All right. Day off, huh? Week off. Praise God. Good to see you. Obadiah was a faithful manager. As we look at 1 Kings 18, we know that Elijah is going to confront Ahab. Elijah, kind of like maybe me and you, and in fact the New Testament says he was a man just like me and you. Elijah served God, and he was in a time period of his life where it felt like not anybody else wanted to serve God. And he would preach to people, and they just kind of laugh at him, and he was really feeling down. But he saw Ahab, this king of Jerusalem at the time, and he said, Ahab, you've got to listen and you've got to serve God. And Ahab said, no, I have my gods, my Baal worshipers and my people, and we don't need your God. But Obadiah, which served Ahab, stay with me, loved God, and he was a faithful manager. And I want to show you this. Look at 1 Kings 18, 1 through 6. It says, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, let me kind of tell you what has happened before this. Elijah proclaimed, there will be no rain. There will be no rain. And so a great drought had occurred, kind of like here. Just no water, no rain. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab, and the famine was severe in Samaria. Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, the Bible tells us. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah, listen to this, took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Let me pause for a minute. Obadiah served Ahab and Jezebel, but Jezebel was going out and killing all the men of God. So Obadiah took 100 men and he hid them in caves and fed them bread and water. Now, what happens when you're in a famine? It's hard to get bread and water. Can you imagine how could he for every day for 3 years feed 100 men without his boss, if you will, knowing it? But number two, how did he do it? I believe that God supernaturally somehow supplied him with bread and water to serve 100 men. That's incredible. Sometimes we get down and we wonder how we're going to get there. You know what? God can do amazing things. Verse 5. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land of all the springs of water and all the valleys and perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules and keep them alive and not lose some of the animals. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one direction by himself. Obadiah went in another direction by himself. I want to give you a couple points here. Obadiah, the faithful manager. And men, on Father's Day, are we or are you a faithful manager of what God has given you? See, the best Christians I know are Christians that know how to manage their life. The best Christians I know are Christians and Christian men who know how to manage their life. As I thought about areas that we manage in our life, I thought of a few things, and let me just throw them to you quickly if I can. If I'm going to be a good manager for Jesus Christ, I must take every aspect of my life and look at it. My health, I got that in my hand. My thoughts. Man, are you managing your health, your thoughts, your spiritual life? How about your financial life? Obadiah was a faithful manager. He was a great man. Men, I challenge you today to think of the areas in your life that you need to manage better and make that commitment today to do that. Obadiah, the faithful manager, he also had a great ministry. His tells us in verses 1 through 4, he had 100 men that were under his ministry. Now, what do you put yourself in the position in a cave hiding from the king and queen because they're going to kill you. But Obadiah, their servant, is going to come and feed you every day. You think they had any hope? I don't think they did. I think every day they would look out and they would see Obadiah come and go, I can't believe he's going to come another day. For over 3 years. They would probably have very low self-esteem and very low encouragement. They probably thought they weren't going to make it. But because of Obadiah being a faithful manager and his ministry well taken care of, the men had hope. I look to you today, men, and look at your families. Does your family have hope? Because they know that dad is a man of God and that he talks, that their dad talks to God. Men, are you managing your life well? Let's look at Obadiah's mission, verses 5 through 6. His mission was to go out and find food to keep the animals alive. What a great mission to do. He did it, and he did it faithfully. Number two, I want to look at Obadiah, the fearful manager. Obadiah, the fearful manager. Look at verses 7 and 8 in your Bible. I'm going to put my glasses on and read the small print here. And as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, and he said, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." Here we see him at a fearful aspect, Obadiah being afraid. Why? Because he's run into Elijah, the man of God, and now he must go tell his boss, Ahab, that he knows where Elijah is. Because remember, Elijah had a number on his head. He was to be killed. Obadiah became fearful. But we look at what Obadiah did as a great man that loved God. Number one, he kept order. I want you to think about that. Kept order. He arranged a meeting with his boss, Ahab, and Elijah. He kept order. Men, when we get in fearful situations, do you keep order in your family and in your community and where you're at? Keep order. What is order? Order is seeking God's help in all this. Seeking direction from other godly men or women. Keep order. Number two, I see as I read this, he did have objection. He not only kept order, but he also had an objection. And I want to show you this, because in verses 9 through 14, we see this objection. Obadiah said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" So he knew that when he told Ahab, "Here I am," Ahab would kill Obadiah. And Obadiah is going, "I object to that. Why are you going to kill me?" Elijah said, "As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you." Goes on to say, "And when they would say, 'He is not here,' he would take an oath to the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here.'" He's objected to this. "And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where." Obadiah is saying, "Elijah, as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to take you somewhere else. And I don't know where that somewhere else is. I object." And he says, "And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my mouth. 13. Has it not been told by my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah's here and he will kill me? Man, I want you to think about this for a second. Even though we keep our lives in a somewhat order, even though we try to manage all the areas in our life, we see even men like Obadiah that feared God, they turn carnal when things get tough. He turned and he said, I object. Instead of saying, God, take care of me, he looked at all the bad things that could happen. Instead of looking at what God opportunity he would have for God to show a great demonstration of his love and power through his life to the whole world, he went, oh me, here's what's going to happen to me. Don't you find yourself doing that? Man, I do. God doesn't want us to worry about how big our mountain is. God can move our mountain. And we need to remember that as men of this church. See, we're going to go through a lot in this church because we are seeking, as we read in Acts 9:31, to have unity of the Spirit and to multiply, to reach people for Christ. And when that happens, there's going to be times where we're going to turn to flesh and say, oh, guess what's going to happen? And we need not do that, but we need to look to God and count Him in. My prayer is that God would shine through you. But I also ask this question, and this is a personal question, answer it to yourself. Do you or can you really trust God? I hope you would say yes and live with the Spirit of God. Men, I'm talking to you today especially because I'm a man and I know exactly what I felt when I read this and studied it. And I'm pretty sure you do too. Let's look at the obedience. If you're counting, I don't know what number this is, but let's look at Obadiah's obedience, verses 15 and 16. Again, I told you we're going to read a lot of Scripture today, but I love that. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Obedience. I want to give you a statement. I hope that you'll listen to this today. I don't believe God will ever use us as men to do great things until we become obedient in the little things. I really don't. And I think that there's so many men here today that want to do great things for God. But until we do the little things for God, God will never do great things through us. But when God does great things through us, it's because He has done great things in us. Do you realize that today? Obadiah finally became obedient and said, I will surely go. And he went and got his boss and he came and they met Elijah. And now in verses 17 through 46, you've all heard the story. I'll read a little bit of it. But we see here Elijah and the mountaintop. And this verses that follow, and these verses that follow, we see Elijah on this mountaintop. And there's so many biblical, spiritual principles that just leap off the page. And I want to give you a few of them that I saw as I read through this last few weeks. Men, I want to give you some spiritual principles that I hope you'll do. Number one spiritual principle that I see in verses 20 and 21 are the chastening. The chastening. The chastening. Look what God does here. This is a spiritual principle. It's unbelievable. So Ahab sent all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer a word. Are we not there today, people? Are we not caught between two opinions? Are we not caught between what the world says and what the Bible says? It's so black and white today, it's unbelievable to me. We're caught between these two opinions. And God is simply telling us, and Elijah simply speaks this, choose who you're going to follow. Choose which opinion you'll go with. Do you really believe that there is a God that can do all the great things? Or do you really think that God can't really do anything? And you just think that the world is what it's going to be. Let me ask you a personal question again. Men and women, you can listen too. How much indecision has gone on in your life today? How much indecision has gone on in your life today? Think about that. When I thought about that, I wept in my own life because I'm caught between a glass house where everything I do is seen. And there's things I want to do that I can't do, but I don't know why I can't do them because if God tells me to do it. It's a hard circle to be in. But I ask you again, how much indecision has gone on in your life today? There must be a point or a spot in our life when we simply say, I surrender. I give. I change today. Today I will be who God wants me to be. That's got to happen in our lives, men. And I want to challenge you, men, today to make that today. Today. I want you to write down Psalm 84:11. It's a verse I've been practicing and trying to get into my life. And it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He's a sun and a shield. And the Lord bestows favor and honor." The Bible goes on to say in 84:11, "No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Man, if I'm walking uprightly, no good thing does God withhold from me. I challenge you today to remove indecision from your life. Will you? Number two spiritual thing that I see in this, not only does He chasten us, I see the contest. And this is a spiritual contest. I think we've studied Elijah and we've looked at this contest where Elijah says, okay, get all your stuff here and build your altar and then have your God burn it. And if your God burns it, then your God's God. And then if your God doesn't burn it, I'll have a contest here and I'll have my God burn it. And if my God burns it, then let my God be God. And they said, okay, it's a good contest. We like a contest. Right? So here's the contest. It's exciting. The Word, here's where I picked this up. Listen to me, I've said this 1,000 times. The world today is watching you and me to see God's love and power exemplified through His true church. We're in a contest. And it's a spiritual contest. And do you trust God enough in the middle of this persecution to believe in God? Hear me today. I want to give you a statement that I want you to write down. Satan cannot touch me in any occasion. Satan cannot touch me in any occasion unless I am in disobedience to Jesus Christ. Hear me today. It's a contest. I didn't know any other way to put this. We're in a spiritual contest. And believe me, God's going to win. But the devil wins if we let him through our disobedience to Jesus Christ. So, men, look at me today. What pattern are you leaving for others to follow? What pattern are you leaving this contest in for others to follow? Will the people that come behind you say, yeah, it was laid out. We have to either serve God or serve Baal, a non-god. But I'm not really sure which way that guy went. Men, leave a pattern where they say he followed God to the end. And there was no doubt or question that it wasn't Baal or an ungod, if you will. Another spiritual principle, the preparation. The preparation. Let me read 25 and 26. This is important. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God. But if no fire comes to it." And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice and no one answered, and they limped around the altar that they had made. These people thought that their God would come down and burn this thing up. They really thought it. And later I'm going to show you, they thought it so much that they not only limped around and threw ashes and rolled around in the dirt, they began to cut themselves and bleed their own blood trying to get their God to burn this thing up. They really believed it. You know, I saw a thing this week, it was on the History Channel. The Muslims were going to this place and they were said to get hair that came from Buddha. And they would come in, they would spend all this money and they would get a string of hair about like that, just one hair. And as they left this mosque, just weeping and just screaming, it was probably hair off the last donkey that went by. I mean, but they really believed it was Buddha's hair. And see, the world today is like that. Let me get to my point. What are you doing to prepare for what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life? You see where I'm going with this? What are you doing personally to see what Jesus Christ wants to do through? God wants to do great things through you, but if you don't prepare, you're not available. The other side, people, listen to me. The other side, they prepare. They really believe they're right. Are you preparing? Let me give you the proof, 27 through 29, 1 Kings 18. Stay with me, we're almost done. "And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, cry louder, for he is a God,'" right? Either he is musing or he is revealing, relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. He's saying, hey, prove to me that this God's real. And they cried out aloud and cut themselves, and after their custom with swords and lances, until the blood gushed out upon them. Gushed out, it says. And at midday past, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. That's what's happening in our world today, people. The people that don't believe in God are crying out aloud, and they're cutting themselves. They're screaming out what they believe, and they're out there, and they're screaming and yelling. But nothing's happening. If you pray or call out to anybody except Jesus Christ, you're going to always get silence. Silence. Oh, help me, whoever. Silence. Oh, help me, whatever you know, whatever the stuff is today. Silence. But when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you better get ready, because He will answer. He will answer. So they shouted. They had sarcasm. There was suffering. And then after all that, there was silence. Finally, look what Elijah did. I want to turn from Obadiah to Elijah. Elijah and the Lord. Verses 30 through 40, Elijah calls fire from heaven. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord is God." How, men, listen to me. How many of you have called God to send you some fire lately? Now, I'm not talking about building altars and burning stuff up. But what about in your managing your life? What about in maybe addictions? Or what about in your thought life or your financial life? Have you called God? The Bible says we need to call God because that's our proof. That's our proof. How long will you take all those needs in your life and try to figure them out on your own? You can tell I'm speaking from experience. See, when you turn your things over to God, He'll take care of them. Let me give you a note here. What I got out of this when I read this passage was the words prevailing prayer. I want my prayers to prevail. When's the last time, men, you have taken a situation in your life, whatever it is, and just really prayed and said, "God, I need you to prevail over this." Man, I know that we need to do that more here. Amen? We do. We do. Because our God will show a demonstration of His love and power. He will do that. Let me just let you in on some personal things for me. As I read this, I asked myself, am I praying every day for that prevailing prayer? And as I thought and looked back in my journal, I noticed that I have been praying and asking God to use me to reach hundreds of men and hundreds of people and hundreds of people around the world, if you will, for Jesus Christ. Another prayer that I've been praying is that I would be very impactful and very significant in the life of Heart Cry Church and churches around the world. Men, I ask you to pray that prayer with me today. See, prayer is powerful. And God is making it clear for us to move forward as men. To be mighty warriors for God. We have a lot out there in front of us. We've got land that we've paid $1 million for, and we owe another $1 million. We got a lot to pray about. But the good news is that when God gets all the glory, that's when things happen. God will get us to where we can't do it, and then He will. I hope you're praying that many would come to Christ and many would be baptized. We've only baptized 18 this year. We're down from all the past years. Usually we're at 30 or 40 by now. And my prayer is, God, why? I don't know what that means, and I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But I'm asking you, men, are you praying? Because prayer is powerful. We are His servants, people. We're God's servants. And as a servant, I am also asking you to get alone with God and to ask God to do only what He can do and to do what you cannot do. To ask God only what He can do, because of what you cannot do, so that He will get the glory. I am happy to tell you today, as I've got away and really prayed and sought God and actually visited several other churches just to see what they're doing across the country, I'm telling you today that God is blessing our church in ways that you can see and ways that you can't see. And I'm glad to say that today. The Bible says everything works together for good for those who follow Christ and are called according to His purpose in Romans 8:28. So don't stop praying about those mountains in your life, people. God can do it in a moment what no one else can do in your life. Let me say that again. God can do in a moment what no one else can do in your life. That ought to give you some hope, amen? I like that. So get confident in God. Here's my message, man. Get confident in God and don't listen to all those fiery darts that are trying to tell you wrong things. Get confident with God. Be bold with God and focus on God and watch what He will do. Going back to the 100 men in the caves. I bet they were sitting there biting their fingernails going, oh man, if their God sends fire, we're dead. But I also bet that the 450 prophets of Baal that were there calling their gods to get the fire, I bet they were thinking, we got this. But what do you think they were thinking after Elijah's fire came down? And then they were slaughtered and killed. And then the 100 were released to go out and preach to men and women, boys and girls. I bet they were changing their minds real quick. The tables can turn when God's men pray in confidence. With confidence. I want to tell you what Spurgeon said. I read this the other day. Spurgeon said, when you pray for rain, you get up and walk outside with your umbrella, whether there's a cloud or not. I like that. And I close with this verse. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence, men, that we have toward Him, and women. That if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of Him. Men, fathers, today, make this today the day when you change and manage what God has given you. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, thank You for Your words today. Father, I just thank You for the study, that just for myself, to be encouraged of hope. And to have confidence to know that You hear me. And to know that as I strive to manage, You're there. And Father, today, as the pastor of Heartcry, I call Your fire on us as men in the church. To be mighty warriors. To gather up as warriors. To do what we cannot do, but to do only what You can do. Father, I pray that today men would make a decision. Children would make a decision. Women, boys and girls would make a decision to follow You. Father, it comes down to the gospel. You sent Your Son to die on the cross to show us a demonstration of Your love and power, and then rose Him again from the dead so that I may live. Father, I pray that You would move amongst us today. If someone here today needs to pray for that fire to come down and help them, pray that You'll give them the courage and confidence to do that. Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus and the cross. And we thank You for forgiving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Will you stand with me this morning? Stand with me this morning. If Jesus is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to make a decision today. Maybe someone today doesn't know Christ as their Savior. What a great day, this Father's Day, to make a difference in your life. You need to pray. Pastors will be up here. Stacy will be in the back. Some of you are uncomfortable coming to the front. There's pastors in the back if you'd like to go to the back and pray. But as we sing, will you come?
Jesus, You are and will always be beautiful and lovely to me. You gave Your life, shed Your blood for me. Heaven came down to reveal Your love. So thank You, I will always bring You praise, for You have won my heart. I thank You. eyes from the deepest places of my heart. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are and will always be beautiful and lovely to me. You gave your life, shed your blood for me. Heaven came down to reveal your love. So thank you, I thank you. I will always bring your praise, for you have won my heart. I thank you, I thank you. I will always bring your praise from the deepest places of my Jesus, you are and will always be beautiful and lovely to me. You gave your life, shed your blood for me. Heaven came down to reveal your love. So I thank you. Places of my heart.
Yes. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. Be in prayer this whole week for VBS, Vacation Bible School. We put a lot of work into that. And be in prayer as the kids come here that they'll be blessed and see Christ. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward if they will. It's a time of worship where we give back to God. And pray that you'll be faithful in that. Like most churches are around the world, I found out this week, they're all behind a little bit, and we are too. As far as our giving, but give what you can. If you're a member, we ask that you try to give 10%. And visitors, we ask you just to give us a visitor's card so we can be in prayer for you. But thank you for being here today. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you for doing what only you can do. But Father, I pray now that we'll take this offering, multiply it, to reach and teach men and women, boys and girls, about and for Christ. Help us to be messengers, warriors of Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.